Office cubicles are mostly empty on Sunday. I say mostly because many people have to work on what is traditionally considered a day of rest. But if you're not at work, what are you doing today? Throughout history, the question of what to do on Sunday has been a source of great debate. In fact, during the 19th century in the United States, it was the longest of all national debates, preceding and outlasting even more heated debates over temperance and slavery. I learned this while reading Craig Harleen's new book, Sunday, A History of the First Day from Babylonia to the Super Bowl. Harleen joins us now from member station KUER in Salt Lake City. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Why is the question of what to do on Sunday such a loaded one?
I think it became loaded with Christians only perhaps in the 3rd or 4th century. At first, Sunday was an ordinary work day for Romans. And so Romans who decided to become Christians would have to worship around their working hours. And once Sunday became more of an official day in the Roman Empire, as more and more Romans became Christians and Christianity became the official religion of the empire, then the day was declared essentially a holiday. So every Sunday was a day off for Romans. And the debate came to be, well, what else should we be doing besides worshiping?
Hmm. So it became a question of, is it a holy day or is it a holiday?
Exactly. But the spirit of your question is, should you be playing on Sunday? What else should you be doing besides worshiping? And that was the point of debate from about the 4th or 5th century. And it's been heated up at various times over the centuries in Western civilization.
It takes a culture to shape Sunday, is something that you write. And in your book, you write about American Sunday, English Sunday, and French Sunday. So why was French Sunday, as you write, despised by so many? I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun. People would go out, they'd visit friends, they'd have a meal, they'd go to the beach.
It wasn't despised by most people, but it was despised by those who believed that Sunday should be a more sober and restrained day. And that came especially from the English and Scottish tradition.
Is American Sunday then a hybrid of both the French and the English Sunday?
I think it probably is in a lot of ways, and not just the French tradition, but the whole continental tradition. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, in early American civilization, with the immigrations to the New World, the Puritans had a certain sort of Sunday that was very strict, even stricter than the mainstream English Sunday. But during the 19th century, of course, there was significant immigration from continental Europe to the United States. And so both of those traditions, both the continental tradition and the English tradition, were present in the United States, and you can still find them today.
Hmm. Wasn't there also a tradition in the European continent of people would get up, they would go to church, and then immediately go to the pub?
So many of them would indeed, in fact, go to the pub. But there were other activities that they engaged in as well. The idea was that church was something that people did in the morning, and after that, the day was free for a lot of recreation. In the English tradition, recreation was not necessarily a good thing on Sunday.
Throughout history, though, didn't a lot of people tend to ignore what was being said about what they could do and not do on a Sunday?
It's probably true of most rules in most societies that you have this list of standards and norms that you're supposed to follow, and then you see what people actually do, and it never quite matches up. And that's certainly true of Sunday as well. There were long lists of Sunday do's and don'ts, and people found a way to do what they mostly wanted to do anyway, I think.
Yeah. Sports is one example.
That was once Christians decided that Sunday was to be observed as an entire day and not merely a few hours of worship. Sports was one of the earliest points of controversy, because what did it mean to rest on Sunday? Did rest mean simply not working, or did rest mean that one could also play?
So how did playing football come to be considered God's work?
I don't know. You mean American football, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, From the beginning of football becoming a popular sport, college was always the more popular game in the early 20th century. Just before World War I, just after World War I, more professional leagues were formed. And these leagues soon saw that if they wanted to have any success, they couldn't play on the day when colleges played. It was just people would rather go watch the college games. So they began to play on Sunday. The question of how Sunday sport came to be acceptable at all is the bigger issue, and I think that had a lot to do with attitudes toward sport and religion, attitude toward sport and Sunday. The heart of professional football was really the Midwest, And in the Midwest, the population was heavily Catholic, who didn't mind having a lot of recreation on Sunday. They didn't see that as being antithetical to a properly worshipful Sunday. There also came to be apparent new attitudes toward sport per se. That's that sport could be something to express your religiosity. Thus, God had given me this body, this talent, therefore I need to display it. Sport could be a rallying point for the country. It was considered a patriotic duty almost to go to baseball games and support the troops, especially when some of those proceeds would go toward the soldiers. So, you know, patriotism and Christianity got mixed up, and therefore sport could be seen as something holy.
Talk a little bit about the Sunday newspaper. I mean, in the 1950s, you write, the New York Times stood at 600 pages and weighed more than 4 pounds. But earlier, you have one early American clergyman who called the Sunday newspaper the common sewer of our social life, the cesspool of all shames and scandals. How did the paper become such a big part of Sunday in the first place?
Well, at first, the Sunday paper emerged during the Civil War, when there was so much desire for news every day of the week. After the war, the immediate justification for a Sunday newspaper obviously ended, but there were plenty of people still demanding news. And so the Sunday paper evolved into what it is today. But I think it came to have that reputation early on because that was a day when people had more time to read. And so the paper would be filled with a lot more detail, a lot more depth in the stories, and again, all kinds of gossip. So it came to have this reputation. But like a lot of other things on Sunday, it came to be seen as something that could be sanctified. When clergymen saw that they could get their sermons into the newspapers, then the newspaper could be something that was good and holy, just like sport. So the activity itself is not what was necessarily holy, but that it could be made holy. Sport, the newspaper, television, when that came along, any number of other things as well.
What attracted you to the subject of Sunday?
Well, I think it was partly because of my own experience growing up. My family was pretty pleasant, but we did come through that English strict tradition of Sunday. And so Sunday was always a kind of dull day, especially if you were in my family, in which we love sports. So there was a kind of tension there, and should you be doing this, should you be doing that? So it wasn't that Sunday was an awful day, it was just kind of a sterile day, not something to look forward to. And that was contrasted significantly when I went to France and Belgium, and I saw how Sunday was the day that most people looked forward to. This was the great day of the week.
Craig Harleen is the author of Sunday, A History of the First Day from Babylonia to the Super Bowl. It's published by Doubleday, and he joined us from member station KUER in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
To read an excerpt from Craig Harleen's book, visit npr.org.